Chapter 16. Tonight? I clarified, and any bit of sleepiness faded away as I stared at the healer mage in shock. Arwen, it's the middle of the night.
Yes,
Arwen nodded.
Before you look at me that way, I want you to know I've had this idea in the back of my mind since the moment you walked out of this house to leave for the Shadowscape. I've spent the last 2 weeks missing you so much, I could hardly stand it. And no matter how I tried to soothe myself, it simply wasn't possible.
I'm sorry to have put you through that, I apologized to her.
Don't be sorry,
the healer mage interjected.
There's no need for you to apologize, and that's not what I was leading into when I brought it up. I only mentioned it because I wanted you to understand how seriously I felt about your absence.
Arwen, I missed you too, I murmured as I squeezed her hands. So much. All I could think about in the Shadowscape was returning to you, and when we were sorting through all of the books in the dungeon library, I felt sad you weren't at my side to enjoy the discovery since I knew how much you would have loved it.
I'm sure it was remarkable.
Arwen's full lips curled into a soft smile.
I do envy your experience a little, but what matters most to me is the fact that you're finally here and back in my arms. It's the only thing I've wanted since you left.
I leaned down and kissed the top of her red hair, and when I drew my fiancé closer to me, I found myself hypnotized by the comforting smell of her jasmine perfume. Arwen's body felt like home, and the feeling of her soft skin against mine was like no other in the world. Arwen, you know I want nothing more than for you to be my wife, I said softly as I took her in mine. However, I don't want to take away the chance for you to have a beautiful, elaborate wedding. You deserve a big celebration with friends and family, and I don't want to rob you of that experience just because the world is in a state of disarray.
I don't need all of the extra frills,
Arwen maintained.
I've never had dreams of a huge, fanciful party anyway. Don't get me wrong, your wedding to Nia was lovely, as was your wedding to Syra. But both of these experiences were never really my style. I don't know if it makes me sound old-fashioned or boring in the least, but all I want is the pair of us together. I want to be able to stare into your eyes and know at that moment the only important thing is our love.
That's a beautiful sentiment, I smiled at her. It sounds incredibly romantic and heartfelt, and I can tell you've put plenty of thought into the idea.
So, what do you think?
The healer mage wondered.
I don't want to force you to go through with it if it doesn't suit your desires.
I want whatever's going to make you happy, I decided, and I pulled away from the crimson-haired healer just enough so I could stare into her amber eyes. If a very private wedding is what you want, then we'll make it so.
Oh, Griff, thank you,
the red-headed professor gasped as she threw her arms around me.
This is so wonderful. I was afraid you would think this was too spontaneous.
No, I love the idea, I swore. I did have a question, though. Have you spoken with the others about this?
Oh, yes, they're aware,
Arwen assured me as she pulled away.
I insisted on them joining us, but they came to the conclusion we deserved a more intimate moment with just the two of us. They swore it wasn't because they didn't wish to be here. They just wished to grant us some intimacy. Layla said it would be more romantic that way.
Sounds like Layla, I chuckled. Well, that answers that question. But I have another. Who's going to be able to marry us at this time of night?
I've already thought all of that through,
the professor replied with a mischievous smile.
All I need you to worry about is meeting me in the room at the end of the hall in an hour's time.
I love how ominous that sounds. I laughed again, and then I took Arwen's hands in mine. But your wish is my command. I'll meet you there in an hour.
Good.
Arwen gave me a dazzling smile, and after we shared a soft, tender kiss, we rose from the bed and parted ways. As I lingered in the doorway and watched Arwen disappear, I couldn't help but smile. After years of hiding our relationship and love, the beautiful professor was finally going to be my wife. This was something younger me could only dream of, so I walked back into my room and decided I should probably throw on some more appropriate attire. Part of me wondered if this idea was the best one, but as I dressed myself in a well-crafted dark blue dress shirt, I knew we were making the right decision. This was definitely spontaneous on my end, but then again, Arwen and I were already engaged with a child on the way. The crimson-haired healer mage had already expressed a desire to wed before our baby came into the world, and with how insane our current world was, it made sense to do this when we had a moment of downtime. Once I was outfitted in my nice shirt and black dress pants, I carefully sat down on the edge of my bed and laced up my nice wedding shoes. This pair was getting quite a bit of use, not that I was complaining in the slightest. It was a pleasure to have so many wonderful women as my life partners, and I was looking forward to the day when I would be able to refer to all of the lovely mages as my wives. I stood up after tying my laces and crossed over to the mirror near the wardrobe. The sleepiness that had clung to my features before was replaced by an excited but nervous expression, and I couldn't help but laugh. This wasn't how I saw my night unfolding, but it made it the perfect night to marry the woman I loved. Arwen had told me to wait an hour, so I dutifully sat at my desk and waited patiently for the clock to progress. At first, I attempted to look over the history book from the Shadowscape like a responsible mage, but the more I reread the words, the more I felt my happiness about the coming events fade away, so I ended up stashing it away. I didn't need to focus on the impending doom of the demon, at least not for tonight. So instead, I opted to take extra time to properly groom myself. I ran a comb through my thick, dark hair until it hung in a more put-together way, and spritzed on a few dabs of a spicy cologne my women had gifted me as a surprise after winter exams. I didn't wear it super often, but when I did, I was reminded of all the good times I'd shared with my wives and lovers, and it brought a smile to my face. Finally, I ran out of things to do, so I perched on my chair and crossed my legs like I was preparing for a meeting with the Grand Mage or something. Sitting with absolute stillness somehow made me relax more than it had when I was moving about. So I forced my back and shoulders to remain in perfect posture as I waited for the clock to strike. Soon enough, I heard the familiar clang, and it was followed by a knock on the door. I flew out of my seat with more enthusiasm than I intended and opened the door to find Arwen on the other side.
"Hi, Griff,"
my fiancé murmured in a velvety voice, and my breath caught in my chest as my eyes scanned her up and down.
"Wow,"
I sighed. "Arwen, you look..." The professor was so stunningly beautiful that I couldn't find the words to complete my statement. It wasn't often that I was at a loss for words, but the healer mage was so enchanting, I was tongue-tied.
"Do I look all right?"
she asked me quietly, and her cheeks flushed pink even in the low light. "All right doesn't even begin to cover it," I shook my head as I studied every inch of my beautiful bride. Arwen's gorgeous mane hung like a dark red curtain down her back, and the ends had been curled in a style I'd never seen her wear before. The tendrils were soft and bouncy, and they reminded me of a painting I'd seen once of a fairy maiden. The professor always wore her hair straight, so it was definitely a change, but I admired the new style greatly. A small section of her crimson locks had been tucked behind her right ear, and a pair of simple but elegant crystalline earrings hung from her lobes. She was clad in a simple dress of pale ivory silk, and it clung to her perfect figure like a second skin. The skirt of the garment spilled to the floor and featured a high slit that rose up her incredibly long legs and stopped just short of her upper thighs. The bodice was cut in a way that revealed just enough of her impressive cleavage to make my jaw drop, but not take away from the garment, and it was held up by a pair of thin, jeweled straps. Arwen's face was just as beautiful as ever, and I noticed extra care was given to her already long black eyelashes. Subtle but slightly smoky makeup had been applied with an expert hand, and it made her amber eyes look even more golden than usual. Her gaze was doe-like, and I couldn't help but melt as she studied me. Arwen's beauty was always effortless, but this ensemble made her look downright ethereal.
"It isn't too much, is it?"
she asked me as she looked down at her skirt.
"The girls helped me pick it out a long time ago, and I wasn't sure if it was too much for this manner of ceremony at—"
"Arwen, stop," I urged her as I took her hands in mine. "You look so unbelievably beautiful. This dress suits you so well. I'm truly the luckiest man in all of Mistral."
"I'm glad you like it."
She blushed even darker still.
"You look handsome as well. You clean up quite nicely."
"Thank you," I chuckled. "Though, I think after seeing your dress, I'd like to switch out my shirt if that's all right with you. I think I have one that would match your gown much better."
"Of course."
Arwen's peach-colored lips curled into a smile, and she gestured toward the wardrobe. I brought her hands to my lips and planted a feather-soft kiss on the tops of them before I let go. I crossed back over to the wardrobe and peered around for a much more suitable shirt, and once I located it, I stripped out of the old shirt and switched it out for the more formal golden ivory shirt. "So you never did answer my question about who would be officiating this midnight rendezvous," I teased the red-headed healer as I fastened the buttons of the shirt at my throat.
"That's for me to know and for you to find out, Mr. Porter,"
Arwen teased me right back.
"I can't reveal all of my secrets at once."
"You know, Miss Hamner, you're about to become Mrs. Porter," I pointed out to her. "That is, if you'd like to change your surname. If not, I won't be offended in the least."
"I haven't quite decided,"
Arwen replied as she smoothed a stray lock of hair back into place.
"I like the idea of sharing a surname with you and the other girls, but I don't want to step on anyone's toes if they don't wish the same."
"I don't think any one of them would have a complaint," I assured her. "We might be a strange, unorthodox one, but we are a family. I also like the idea of all of us sharing a surname. But I'm also okay with whatever you all decide. If you'd prefer to remain Miss Hamner..."
"Perhaps we can save that title for the bedroom,"
Arwen purred, and it took all of my willpower to remain in place and not carry my fiancé over to the bed. "Only if there's a desk involved," I played along as a wicked grin crossed my face. "I may be an academy graduate, but I'm sure there are still plenty of lessons you could teach me, Miss Hamner."
"Perhaps."
Arwen winked at me, and I forced myself to look away before she could give me another naughty gesture. "Should we just skip the wedding and go straight into the honeymoon?" I chuckled as I smoothed the wrinkles out of my shirt.
"That's a tempting offer, but this dress deserves a moment or two before it's flung to the floor,"
Arwen replied with a giggle of her own. "Oh, I won't be flinging that beautiful garment to the floor," I contradicted the buxom healer mage. "I fully intend to fuck my new bride in her wedding dress."
"You're extra naughty tonight, Mr. Porter,"
the professor smirked.
"Before you get too ahead of yourself, we should probably go through with the wedding first."
"I think that would be wise," I admitted. "If we don't leave now, I don't think I'll be able to control my actions." After I gave myself one last look over in the mirror, Arwen took my hand, and then she led me out into the hall. Together, we ascended to the fourth floor, and confusion ran through me as I tried to figure out where we were going. I'd never admit it aloud, but there were still quite a few rooms in our elaborate mansion I was either unfamiliar with or had yet to fully explore. And as we headed to the end of the corridor, I figured we were on our way to one of those rooms. The door in front of us was taller than the others, arched where the rest were rectangular, and featured a filigree decoration that had been threaded with stems of white wildflowers.
"Are you ready?"
Arwen asked me, and her cheeks darkened to a lovely shade of pink. "I've been ready to make you mine since the moment I first laid eyes on you," I replied. And after the healer mage and I shared a tender kiss, we stepped through the double doors. The room we entered was one I'd only seen once, back when we'd first moved into the mansion. My women had shown it to me briefly, and back then, it only had a few boxes and drawn curtains within it. I hadn't thought much of the space since then, but clearly it had gotten a makeover when I wasn't paying attention. The curtains that hung in front of the floor-to-ceiling glass windows were still closed, but the heavy old-fashioned drapes had been replaced with sheer white ones. Garlands of white roses were intricately wrapped around the curtain rod, and other flowering vines spilled down to the white marble floor. An array of tall candelabras had been filled with long tapered candles, and they gave the room a soft, intimate glow. The most surprising thing about the room, however, was the man who stood in the center of it. "Headmaster Sleet?" I asked, and my lips curled into a smile. "What are you doing here?"
"Hello, Mr. Griff,"
the storm mage greeted me with a smile of his own.
"I know it was only hours earlier that we parted, but I'm here at the request of Miss Hamna. I'm here to bind the pair of you together in holy matrimony."
I turned to look at Arwen, and the redhead blushed even further.
"I thought it would be nice for the headmaster to be the one to marry us, since he was the one who brought us together years ago,"
she explained. Sleet looked just as proud to be here with us, and it was surprising to see the renowned storm mage dressed in such formal attire. He wore a pair of well-tailored black trousers, a dark gray button-up shirt, and a jacket so black and refined, I knew it had to cost far more than I'd ever spent on a garment. I was so used to seeing the headmaster in his normal tunics and elaborate robes, but tonight, he looked like far more than the head of an academy. Sleet appeared elegant and refined, and I appreciated the amount of effort he'd put into himself for this. "I'm glad to have you here, sir," I said in my most sincere tone. "Truly, it means so much to me to have you officiate such an important event."
"Trust me, Mr. Griff, the honor is all mine," Sleet replied,
and then his stormy eyes moved between Arwen and me.
"Now, are you and Miss Hamna ready to proceed?"
"Yes,"
Arwen confirmed, and she squeezed my hand.
"What about you, Griff?"
"Of course I'm ready," I assured her.
"Good,"
Sleet said, and then he gestured in front of him.
"I'll keep this fairly simple, but I still want your ceremony to feel special. I think we could all use a little brightness in these uncertain times. Now, please do me the favor of standing up here."
Arwen and I crossed over to the small altar that had been set up in front of the headmaster, and when we stepped into the candlelight, the flickering flames made my fiancé's features look even more serene. My hands trembled at my sides as I grinned with excitement. This was it, the moment I'd been waiting for so long.
"Arwen Hamna and Griff Porter, you are two individuals who were brought together by fate,"
Sleep began with a soft smile.
"Every moment you've shared, every breath of air you've taken in your lungs, every footstep you've traveled across various lands, has led you to this moment in time. Your meeting a few years ago may have been a moment of chance, but it placed a destiny in your laps that was set in motion with your first words. You began as friends, but time and experience made you lovers. To share such a destiny with someone is the strongest magic in all of the universe, and a bond that should be cherished above all else. A life partner is more than just a companion. They're an extension of yourself, another half meant to make you whole. There are those who don't believe in soulmates, but non-believers are simply those who have yet to find their perfect matches. Griff and Arwen, the love I've witnessed between you is some of the purest and most true I've seen in all of my years. The two of you represent an equal partnership of loving individuals who have committed themselves to better the other, and tonight, we will seal that bond forever."
The headmaster took a breath, and I studied Arwen's face as tears welled in her amber eyes. I'd never seen the professor look so overwhelmingly joyful, and I vowed to do all I could to keep her that way for the rest of our lives.
"Griff, do you promise to honor and love Arwen with all of your being for the rest of your life?"
Sleet asked me.
"Do you pledge to uphold and treasure her as your own, in sickness and in health, Until you take your final breath.
I do, I confirmed.
Arwen, do you promise to honor and love Griff with all of your being for the rest of your natural life?
Sleet asked the red-headed healer.
Do you pledge to uphold and treasure him as your own, in sickness and in health, until you draw your final breath?
I do.
Arwen nodded, and the tears she'd been holding back finally spilled down her cheeks.
Then by the power vested in me, I am happy to pronounce you husband and wife.
Headmaster Sleet smiled at the both of us, and then he gestured for us to come together.
Griff, you may kiss your bride.
I swept Arwen into my arms and kissed her more passionately than I'd ever kissed her before, and my heart felt like it was going to explode from pure joy. My wife laughed as more happy tears finally streamed down her face, and even though a few of the drops landed on my tongue as we kissed, I didn't even mind. Arwen Hamner was finally my wife. Sleet's words during the ceremony had been correct. Even though Arwen and I had been brought together purely by chance, we'd been destined to wind up in this exact spot, and I felt unbelievable gratitude toward whatever force had set this union in motion. Arwen brought out the best in me, and inspired me to be the greatest man and summoner I could be, and I vowed to do all I could to be the best husband and father to our child. What are you thinking about? I asked my crimson-haired wife when we parted.
Nothing,
she mused as she stared into the distance over my shoulder. But then she turned her attention back to me.
It's just a strange feeling, being this happy at a time when things are so confusing and unpredictable. This wasn't what I'd been expecting for my wedding day, but somehow, it's exactly what I've wanted all along.
I'm so happy, I replied, and I planted a feather-like kiss on her forehead.
Me too,
she whispered. We kissed again, and once we parted, I turned my attention back to Sleet. Thank you, Headmaster, for everything, I thanked Sleet, and I placed my hand on his arm. I really appreciate you officiating this ceremony for us.
I was more than happy to be here for you on your special day, Sleet replied,
and even his eyes glistened with unshed tears.
Trust me, this lifted my spirits nearly as much as yours, so I feel like I should be doing the thanking.
We all laughed at that, and then Arwen glanced over at the clock. Despite the sky remaining the same vivid shade, the time had passed by at a rapid pace, and though I was no longer tired, I couldn't speak for the others.
I didn't realize how late it was,
she said.
Of course, I knew this was going to be a late affair, but I wasn't paying much attention to the time.
It sure does fly when you're having fun,
Sleet noted with an amused twinkle in his eyes.
That being said, I should return to the academy. Tomorrow's going to be a long day, and I'd like to give the two of you some time alone to enjoy your wedding night before you've got to get back to our mission.
Thank you, sir. I nodded at the renowned storm mage. Please, let us see you out. I would feel a lot more comfortable letting you walk out into the night if I watched you leave.
I brought a carriage with me, but I appreciate your concern, Griff,
Sleet said in an appreciative tone.
Your care means a lot to me.
I'm not taking no for an answer, sir, I laughed, and the white-haired headmaster finally agreed to my terms.
All right, Mr. Griff.
He shook his head as he laughed.
I'll allow you to escort me to the door. But the moment I leave, you're the sole property of your wife's affections. Do you understand?
I think I can handle that. I winked at my crimson-haired wife, and then I gestured toward the door. The headmaster, Arwen, and I filed out the fourth-floor room, and then the three of us descended to the first floor. The entire mansion was completely silent, and I did my best to remain as quiet as possible to keep from disturbing anyone. The last thing I wanted was to accidentally rouse one of the children, especially since their mothers all needed a good night's sleep. Once we reached the foyer, Sleet, Arwen, and I exchanged a round of embraces, and after one last goodbye, The headmaster fastened a mask around his face and turned his hand on the doorknob. However, the moment Sleet opened the door, we were suddenly startled by a man attempting to catch his breath.
Fuck!
I nearly recoiled in shock, but after a moment, I recognized the young man as Connor, the water mage from the fight against the FireEye. Only, it was clear he'd been through a lot since the last time I'd seen him. His eyes were sunken, his cheekbones were more pronounced, and there was a thick sheen of sweat on his forehead that made his dark curls glisten. His mask hung around his neck like an industrial-strength necklace, and I could see the inside of the covering was just as wet with sweat as Connor's face.
"Connor?" Sleet asked in a concerned tone. "What are you doing here? Are you all right?"
"Headmaster, Sleet."
The mage greeted the renowned storm mage through ragged breaths.
"I'm so glad I found you. I was told you'd be here, but I was worried I wasn't going to find you in time. I'm all right. But the Enclave isn't."
Suddenly, the sound of an alarm rang out so loudly that my ears ached. I jumped in response, and my stomach plummeted to the floor.
"What's going on?"
Arwen wondered as her body tensed up. My arm instinctively reached out around her shoulders, and I drew my new wife close to me for protection.
"No, it can't be."
Sleet's face blanched until it was nearly as white as a sheet.
"That alarm. No, it cannot be true."
"What's the alarm for?" I asked, but my question wasn't acknowledged. Sleet appeared as if he was moments away from losing consciousness, but Connor managed to steady the older mage before his legs could waver.
"Unfortunately, it is, sir."
Connor gulped, and then he finally turned to Arwen and me.
"The alarm has never gone off before, but for good reason, Mr. Griff."
"It doesn't sound like a rift alarm." I frowned as I tried to comprehend what exactly the water mage was implying. "What makes this one so special?"
"It signifies something that has never happened in all of the history of the Enclaves,"
Sleet answered, and he fixed his stormy white eyes on mine.
"Our worst fears have come true, Griff. A monster has managed to enter Valais."